We extend greetings in our Savior's name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and give extend the grace that God has provided for us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. I just really appreciate that phrase, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. In his name, we're here this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. I bring greetings from the Valley View congregation from Belleville, Pennsylvania. Appreciate having Irvin there a number of times years ago, and invite him to come back and share with us. It's a wonderful blessing. And it's such a wonderful blessing that we don't know a lot of our faces and names, yet we have this common relationship because we love the same Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's so wonderful. Appreciate God's blessing this morning. This morning I'd like to think about a subject of the brevity of life. How short is life? The brevity of life. I'd like to title that. I'd like to use a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 for a text. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, I'd like to use for a text of thought this morning. And that verse says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Right? The Bible says we brought nothing into this world. When we came, and when we were born, we came empty-handed. We had nothing. And the Bible says that when we leave, we will be going the same way. And now it seems like it says there are three points of life that we like to consider of. It talks about birth, and then it seems to talk about life, and then it seems to be talking about a departing. And in that between the birth and the departing is what we call life. And I'd like to spend quite a bit of time of thinking and just giving us some questions about life in between there. We're here, and that life is short. And what do we do with that life? So you want to remember this morning that time is short. And I was intrigued with your bulletin this morning. There's a phrase in there that says, life is short. Well, that's the thought that we'd like to remember this morning. Life is short. What do we do with life if it is short? Now, it's possible, and very most likely, that for children, it seems like there are 3 years to one Christmas. But then when we get old, then it seems to be like three Christmases to 1 year. Now, if the children can know what that means. Life seems to change, but there's one thing that impresses me of that I'm not sure if I understand, and that is when I was young, I thought time seemed to be long. But now even children say they think time goes fast, and I'm not sure what makes a difference. I think there's more activities and more things going. But we want to remember time is short, and we're here but for a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. It refers to about those that are, some are married and some are not married. But the conclusion of the matter is that time is short. Really, it doesn't really matter, therefore, then, if we're married or not married. But the fact is that time is short. And it's important that we use that time for God's glory. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I think it's saying it's time that we wake up and make our choice for Jesus because time is short. Psalm 90. Speaks about the brevity of life. And we have phrases in the psalmist that would indicate that life is like a vapor. And it's soon gone. And we have, it's like a handbreadth. A handbreadth is just the width of our hand. It's very short. So life is very short. But it says, because that life is short, or all our days are, verse 9, all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of his anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this is the message. So teach us to number our days, so that we can apply our heart unto wisdom, to remember that life is short. Now, I'd like to give us a consideration that what are we doing in life? Now, we as humans, we like to make an impression. We get the idea that we want to do something big in life. Do we remember God calls us with different gifts and different abilities? He wants us to serve him with what he has given us. Many times we get this idea that we want to do something big. Well, if God calls us, we need somebody to be in the front line. It seems like when we have one person in the front line, we need 10 people behind him to support him. Now, sometimes God calls us to be that person behind, the last one behind, but that's just as important as the one in the front line. We need to be willing to serve where God has placed us. Now, I'd like to give us a consideration. There's a verse in Psalms that a brother of mine would state at times, and finally I started to thinking about this verse. Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Now, we like to do big things, but do we understand, do we remember, do we consider the fact that if we're willing, if we offer praise to God, we are glorifying him? Just simply offering praise to God, that is glorifying God. Now, some of us have different callings. We have a Sunday school teacher or a superintendent, and we have different callings. But we need to remember that if God calls us, and God may not give everybody a position to stand in front of the church, but we're called to glorify God. And when we're willing to glorify God, to praise him, and we are glorifying God. So this morning, God is calling us to serve him where he is calling us. I'd like to ask the question, as we give consideration of life, do we have a two-kingdom concept? Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not from hence." The disciples and Peter tried to take the sword and take care of the issue here. And Jesus said to him, "Now, calm down here a little bit, Peter. Slow down here a little bit." And we talk about Peter following afar off and denying him. And I kind of think, well, possibly he was just, you know, all out for, he's going to take care of his Lord. He got his sword out and he was going to, and Jesus told him, "Now, slow down here a little, Peter." And then he backed off. And then maybe we accuse Peter for backing off a little bit. Possibly the situation that Peter was in. Well, maybe that's... But we want to remember, Jesus gave this statement, "My kingdom is not of this world." And I like to ask the question this morning, which kingdom are we at? Do we have a two-kingdom concept? We are approaching a time when we call 4th of July. And what's that all about? It's about when our country won its independence, and we're all so excited, and we love these fireworks. But I'd like to ask the question this morning, what do fireworks really represent? I'm not sure if you have them here. We have them in our area. And I read an article just recently about what it really represents, and I would like to encourage you to make a study. What do fireworks really represent? Now, I can come back to the fact and the question, do we really, yes, it's a real blessing that we live in a country that's a free country, but do we remember there were soldiers that gave their life so that we can have a free country? Are we now willing to serve God? I come back to this question. The Bible talks about servanthood, and we are sure glad that we don't have servants and slaves, that was taken care of. But my question is, when that was taken care of, have we lost the concept of being servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we want to come back to our 4th of July situation. What do fireworks represent? According to the article that was written, fireworks, when during the Civil War, before 4th of July, the battle was won, in the battle, they would send up lights at nighttime, which would explode, and which would represent thousands of soldiers that have lost their life in the war for a country. Today, when we celebrate, when the country celebrates 4th of July, and they put off the fireworks, it's a commemoration of the thousands of soldiers that have lost their life so that we can have a free country. Are we involved in that, or are we called to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? I'd like to encourage us this morning to be considerate, to remember that God has called us into a far, far high calling to be a part of his kingdom, which is not a part of this kingdom. I'd like for us to remember that God does call us to pray for our government. He does call us and teach us that we're to pray for the peace of our country. But are we willing to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Who is the captain of our life? Is it Jesus? Is Jesus Lord of our life? If he's Lord of our life, are we willing to follow him and serve him and do what he calls us? This morning, we are called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, a high calling, greater than it is to serve our country. I'd like to come back to our text here. Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The text of verse chapter 7 speaks about we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, verse 6 and verse 8 have a context that we'd like to consider about. It says, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, refers to, for we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I like to think of that word contentment. That word contentment. Now, we want you to remember that word contentment doesn't mean that we're now just, well, all right, just whatever happens, and we're just set back, and we let sin overtake us, or whatever happens. No, we're called to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to fight. We're called to stand. And we're called, but we want to remember this godliness, this contentment needs to be in godliness. Unless we have godliness in our contentment, it is not sufficient. But God does call us. He's calling us to be content in godliness. Contentment comes, and I confess that we all find ourselves, and I find myself, struggling with the issue of contentment. But I really feel, by God's grace, that it is within the heart. It's not the circumstance that we live in that brings contentment. It's not the conditions of the outside, may it be weather or circumstance or whatever it is, but it is within the heart that brings contentment. It's contentment within the heart. Jesus referred to, there are those that would say, lo here or lo there. He said, don't go after them, for the kingdom of heaven is within the heart. Contentment is and comes from within the heart. I really give this consideration that when a person is content in his heart in the Lord, we times have struggles within our hearts. When we come to the place that we have peace with God in our hearts, everything is clear and everything is right, we're content in Him, we're satisfied to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we serve Him. Yes, we are faithful in using the gifts and the talents He has given us, but we find contentment in serving Him. I'd like to give a statement. Sometimes statements leave a big impression upon us. We had one time a visiting minister come, and we were in instruction class, sitting in instruction class. And so I gave the visiting minister a little time to share a little bit, and he made one statement that has stuck to my mind. He said, he was speaking to the instruction class. He said, "Be contented sheep in God's pasture." I would like to impress that upon our life. Be contented sheep in God's pasture. It's kind of amusing. We go down the road and we see a fence, and we see inside this fence we see animals. And it's amazing how many times you see those animals stick their head out through the fence and are trying to eat grass the outside of the fence. The question is for us as Christians, are we trying to get on the other side of the fence, or are we willing to be content within God's pasture? Now, we also look at fences, and we want to remember the fence is not just put there to keep us inside. A fence is placed there at times to keep the enemy outside. And so fence is not just to keep me in, but it's for my protection. And so as we have contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ and we serve Him where God has placed us, it brings us as contented sheep in God's pasture. And somehow, I'd like to be encouragement, somehow we need to learn how to reach out and find God's grace in the situation where we're in. We were visiting, and we discovered during conversation and time that most of us remember this accident where the Esch family had the accident, and they all died in the accident except the two little boys. And we discovered there was another girl in the load, and she also died. And we discovered that we're visiting with the parents of this girl. She was actually an adopted girl. And we were talking about that, and I said, it must have been hard to go through that. And somehow it seemed, yes, it was hard, but somehow it seemed the message was they were reaching out and receiving God's grace and going through that hard time by God's grace. I like to say for us, there are times when we have hard times in life to go through. There's something about reaching out to God and receiving God's grace upon our life to go through the hard times of life. There's one thing that I would like to share that I've experienced in my life's time, that when I see somebody going through a hard time, it seems like God is using that to equip that person to help others going through hard times. And so when we go through hard times, we want to remember to look. God has a greater, far greater picture than what we have. He possibly is preparing us to help other people go through hard times. So as we see other people, we want to remember to reach out and give God's grace. Now, it's something about accepting God's plan in our life. God calls us for many different things. He calls different people in different gifts and different places and situations. My prayer is that somehow we can reach out and receive God's grace to serve God where He has placed us. And it's a real blessing to understand and to find out and to discover that God, His people are gathering together. And when we gather with God's people, there is something in common that we can share together. It's a wonderful blessing. So we want to remember this morning, contentment within the heart with God, are willing to serve Him because of what He has done for us. I'd like to give consideration this morning that it is Jesus that is the answer. We have so many questions, and we have lots of things to go through in life, But it is Jesus that is the answer. It's Jesus in our heart that makes the difference. So let's serve him. The question is, what do we do with that of which God has given us? I would like to give a little bit of encouragement and consideration, a prayer request. We at our time in our congregation are looking forward with God's blessing and leading, looking forward for an ordination. And it's very heavy on our hearts as a ministerial team to think of an ordination. But I'd like to as we were thinking of an ordination, with the Lord's blessing, we have our church voice, and we have set a date, September 18. We're having a hard time to set a date, so finally we set one pretty far out ahead, and hopefully we can keep it with the Lord's direction, the Lord's blessing. And so you can pray for us. But as I was thinking in preparation for an ordination, I thought, well, we'll go through the book of Timothy. Timothy has a lot of teaching. Paul had a lot of teaching to a young pastor, Timothy. And so I started going that. We have a lot of things. I'd like to think of a few things. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 refers to church order. He gave a lot of direction about church order. It's important for us to have order in the church. And I'd like to give this concept here within this context that Paul was speaking to Timothy. And they, in their time, were familiar with the word slipped me there. If you have an army, you have everything in order. You have the general, you have the chief and the servants, and you have, when the general gives his commandment, you follow it. On that concept, Paul was speaking to Timothy because they understood how that works. And so he was giving him direction, just as the general would give his servants, his soldiers, their direction, and they would follow. So Paul was giving the direction to Timothy, and he was following. He was to follow the direction. And so that's the concept of which he was giving. And so it's important for us to understand the Lord Jesus gives us the direction, and we're to follow him. And so chapter 1 speaks about order in the church. Chapter 2 speaks about prayer. And I'm ready for chapter 2 in our next message at home. And I guess I was intrigued as in preparation and thinking about this, how important it is in our church work is prayer. Now, I'd like to ask a few questions here. Sometimes some people will get this idea that when politics comes up, we should vote. I'd like to ask a question. Which can one person do the most? If he would vote for one person, would one vote do more? Or if he would say, I'm going to spend time in praying and asking God, and I'll move God's hand, and God can move the people to put in who he wants. Now, which is really the greatest? And which is the most important? I think we need to consider the fact that if we're willing to spend our time in prayer and let God do the work, God can move the people what he wants. And I come back to that same situation in our church life. I think it's really important for us to consider the fact, if we're willing to spend time in prayer, God can move. If we don't spend our time in prayer, how will God move? It's easy for God to move and put in the hearts of people what he wants them to do. And God does that. The Bible teaches that he moves the heart of the king as water and to fulfill his plan, his will. He raised up Pharaoh in Egypt to have his will be done. And he can raise up people today to have his will done if we're willing to pray. And so the first step of life, the importance is, before we get into the place of thinking of an ordination, is our prayers. And I like to encourage us to remember to pray. And I had to think of a question already. We get this idea that, we have different gifts and different offices and different responsibilities in church. But what would happen if one person in church, or if any of us, any one of us, would decide that I'm going to spend 1 hour every day, a set time, I would spend 1 hour every day just with the Lord in prayer? He would shut off his phone. He would shut off the door. He would go to somewhere where nobody can disturb him and would spend 1 hour with God every day. What would happen? Sometimes we get discontent with our church. We get discontent with this or that or that. What would happen if we would spend 1 hour every day with God in prayer? I think life would change for us first and possibly with others. The importance of prayer. And I would give this illustration one time that there was an older brother that was not able to take care of himself anymore. And his son-in-law was taking care of him. And one day his son-in-law was outside shoveling snow. And his father-in-law said, "Come in here." He said, "You pray for me that I can die." He said, I can't do anything. I'm not worth anything." Now, what would you do if your father-in-law would ask you to pray that he could die? Well, he tried to think in olives, and he thought, "Well, can you still pray yet?" He said, "Well, yes, I can." He said, "Then you're worth being here if you can still pray." We would like to do things to be seen of men, but God's call for us is to be willing to be prayer warriors for his kingdom and his church. God will bless us as we serve him as being a prayer warrior. Chapter 2 is importance of prayer. And it concludes with godliness within our sisters. Chapter 3 is qualifications. And I had a hard time years ago to take the book of Timothy. Sometimes I take a book and go through it a chapter at a time, just go through that book, until finally I discovered chapter 3 is kind of a hard message to preach to other people if it speaks about yourself. But I would like to encourage us to give consideration that the lifestyle of chapter 3 is a lifestyle of godliness called for all of us as Christians to serve him. So let's look at the chapter as a lifestyle of godliness to serve him. And so we have qualifications. And then we have much more direction in the rest of Timothy. And coming back to chapter 6, where it refers to the brevity of life. So I'd like to be encouragement this morning to remember to give consideration that God's call for us is to follow our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, and serve him. The Bible also refers to, in Matthew chapter, and through the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 21, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, there's possibly some different ways you could explain this verse. What does this verse mean? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'd like to turn that around and ask the question, is it then true to saying where your heart is, there's where your treasure is? And my question is, if our treasure is God's people, God's church, that church of Jesus Christ, then will our heart be there? And if a heart is there, then it's our treasure. My prayer, my concern, my interest is that we can have our treasure and our heart in the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we promote and do what we can. What are we willing to do within the church of Jesus Christ for Christ's sake? Are we willing to work within the church of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do what we can to be a prayer support, a prayer warrior? And we had in our Sunday school lesson, Sunday school class this morning, that there are those that are very willing and glad to identify themselves with. Now, we have, very, very sad, we have Penn State real close by, and they have football, some kind of games there, and it's a real big mess. But there are a lot of people that are willing to be identified with Penn State. Are we willing to be identified with the Church of Jesus Christ? And if you want a story, a very sad story about football games, I can give you another story. There was one time a man that was buying some hay, and this hay dealer was referring to that he was one time, and he was a farmer, and so he wasn't quite up to all this stuff. And so one of his friends wanted him to go along to the bowl game, And so he dressed up. I think he was dressed up like a pioneer man. So he dressed up in green, and he wanted to be a pioneer man. And so they got there, and he got there with his friend, and his friend said, "Well, you can't go dressed up like that. Why, that's the color of the other side that we're against." And so, he didn't think of that. "No, you're not going to go in." Said he had to be identified with the side that they wanted to win. The question is, are we willing to be identified with the side of Jesus Christ within our church? What are we willing to be identified with? You have work ethics. UPS men, they're dressed up like a UPS man. You have the army, they're dressed up like the army. If you'd be dressed up different from what the army is, we'd be shot from both sides. Are we willing to be identified with the kingdom of Jesus Christ and serve him? It's worth it all. It's worth it all. What are we willing to do, to sacrifice, to serve within the church for the building of the church of Jesus Christ? Just a few comments. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's speaking, verse 1 speaks about servants. We're counted to be submissive under. And I'm not sure, that's one word that is not a very popular word today. We think that's just for the sisters. They need to be submissive to their husbands. And that's true, yes. But are we willing to be submissive under the lordship of Jesus Christ and serve him? And we want to remember, Satan gave this temptation of appetite in the garden we heard about. And he said, "Oh, God is depriving you of something that you're missing." And so she was deceived and took of that appetite, let that appetite, and it led her far off into sin. Satan would like to prove, to tell us today that God is depriving us of something. But let's remember, Satan is a liar and a father of lies. To be content within a heart is to be within the kingdom of Jesus Christ and serve there. There is sufficiency, it's protection, it's contentment, it's peace in our heart. There's no joy. There's nothing compared to the peace that God gives within his heart. And I like to be an encouragement. It cannot be experienced unless we're there. It cannot be explained. The Bible says the gospel is hid to them that are lost. Those that have never experienced the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't understand it if they're not there. My prayer is that we are there and can find it and serve him. After we come through the importance of contentment and godliness, and then he reminds us in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witness a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Coming again down to the end of life. God is calling us to keep. Now, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's nothing that we can do to save us. We can't be good enough. But unless we reach out and accept God's grace and his salvation in our life, we need to be willing to do our part to accept God's grace. We need to make that choice. I want to live for Jesus. And we're to follow, we're to flee. There are things that we need to learn to flee. And there are things that we need to stand against. But God is calling us to follow righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness, or to fight the good fight of faith. As we think of life, birth, life, death, there's also another concept. There are three things that are most familiar with us, and that is births and weddings and funerals. And that's really what life is all about. And so we want to remember, none of us will stay here forever. There are a few people, about two men, that never went through death. But there's nobody that ever stayed here. Even the Lord Jesus didn't stay here upon the earth. We are not here to stay. We're here but for a short time. And what we do is what is important. What about? We cannot take anything along. But what about passing on before we get there? Laying up our treasure in heaven before we get there. What we do for Jesus' sake is what we're doing to lay up our treasure in heaven. Now, a comment was given in our church recently, and I'll just give this comment for what it may be worth. We talk about missions and sending somebody off to missions. We wonder, how could somebody just, that's going to be kind of tough. We actually have Marlon and Orpha here going to Ukraine and serving there. That's kind of tough to have a couple going. But if you really stop and think, now this was just in context, just think with me a little bit. If we have 10 men that have a job and that are working, and they're willing to give their tithe, one-tenth of their income, to the Lord, and they would give, these 10 men would give their tenth to this one man that is going to go on service, he would have 100%, and he would be willing to survive. It sounds kind of simple that way. We often make things too complicated. But the question is, are we willing to do what we can? God needs people to serve him at home. He needs people to serve him on the mission field. Where God has called us, there is where we want to serve him. Are we willing to serve and build for his kingdom? Lay up our treasure in heaven while we have the opportunity. Where our heart is, there will our treasure be. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be. Are we willing to lay up treasure in heaven for God's sake? God's call for us. When we come back to Revelation, we go through Revelations chapter 2 and 3, and he speaks about the seven churches. And every one of these churches, he says, I know your works. God knows our works. But we're willing to serve him. In chapter 2, verse 10, he refers to that they're going to have tribulation for 10 days. But it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And I would like to use that phrase there. They're going to have tribulation for a set time, but it will just be for a time. There are times in life, and through this life, we have tribulation. We have things to go through in life, but it is just for a time, and then it will be over. But if those that are faithful unto the end can receive the crown of life, I'm sure when we get there, we will say it will be worth it all. So by God's grace, may we choose today to be faithful until death, and he will give us the crown of life. Shall we kneel and pray?